Dimple Darlington was young and impulsive. When her husband, refusing to heed her prayers, lifted her into the boat and ordered her to row away, she suddenly yielded to a feeling of desperation, and instantly, giving up the struggle against the longings in her heart, she rowed away to where she knew she would meet St. Florian. "It is useless to struggle any longer," she told herself, as if in palliation of the wrong she knew she was committing. She never even glanced back at her husband. She did not give him a single thought. She felt as if she was cast adrift from all the world, and there was only St. Florian to share her life. William Darlington watched until the slim, girlish figure of his wife was lost to view. At first he felt startled as she rowed farther and farther away, but this feeling gave way to one of irritation. He thought she was rebellious and meant to try to punish him for compelling her to row against her will. And thinking thus, he returned to the manor, determined not to let her think he cared in the least what she had done or where she had gone. Without giving him a single thought, Dimple rowed on and on, until her boat grazed against the side of another boat that lay in the water beneath the drooping branches of green trees. In silence, St. Florian greeted her arrival. Not until her boat touched his did he move, and then he stretched out his arms and, drawing Dimple to him, pillowed her curly head upon his shoulder. "You see, I have been conquered," she said, with a little quiver in her voice. St. Florian pressed her closer to his throbbing heart. "Thank God," he murmured huskily. "You do not ask me how nor why I came," she pouted, smiling up into his handsome face. "Is it not enough that you are here?" he asked with a sigh of happiness. Dimple laughed softly. "Is that laziness or indifference?" coquettishly. For a moment he gazed steadily down into her tender, shining eyes, until his very gaze thrilled her heart and made her pulses tingle with exquisite bliss. "It is the state of a man to whom God has given everything," he said in a thankful whisper. "Dear St. Florian," she murmured, gazing longingly into the handsome face above her. "Are you pitying me?" he asked with a little laugh. "Yes, you and myself," sighing. "Don't," he pleaded vehemently. "Let us be happy while we may. Let us remember nothing except that we are together, that I hold you to my heart. Forget the past and the future. The present is ours, and we are happy." "I am happy," Dimple cried with unrestrained love. "If I had bought this moment with murder, I should feel repaid." St. Florian Ellermeyer shuddered, and his handsome face turned pale. "Don't suggest that frightful thing at such a time," he cried hoarsely. "It reminds me too forcibly of the loathsome suggestions the devil seems to whisper in my ear when I am alone. He seems to say, 'Why not murder that old man? She will never be yours unless you do. Many murders are never solved. It is worth the risk, until I am forced to fly for companionship to drive the tempter away.'" "How horrible!" Dimple cried in terror, clinging to him. "Oh, St. Florian, promise me, swear to me you will never think of such a thing." "Forgive me, little darling," he begged penitently. "I should not have frightened you with my sinful thoughts. But do not fear. In my reasonable moments, I can see how mad such an act would be. Even if the man you married was out of the way, there is Della. Nothing but her death can ever set us free to love."
"Della's death? Oh, I pray heaven not that," Dimple cried piteously. "Not Della, my sister, my beautiful, loving twin. If only I could die. I am the flaw, the one that causes misery to you all, and only my death can restore happiness,